Amen. We were in Warren, Texas. They had only about 20 to 25 people there. And Jimmy, young lady there, God filled Jimmy with the Holy Ghost in that service. Thursday during the jail service, the Spirit of the Lord was so rich. God began to minister and to watch inmates, criminals, respond to the Spirit of the Lord. That you see, God's not a God that says, you're too bad, or you're too small, you're too insignificant, you're not on the who's list. No, the Lord says, if you would look to me, you would open your heart. Amen. You give me praise and you give me liberty, I will do great things amongst you. Amen. I'm thankful the Lord is in this place this morning and God's ready to do great things. If you have your Bible, would like to turn with me to the Word of the Lord. Deuteronomy 33, 27 is where we want to go this morning. And how beautiful the presence of the Lord and the grace of God is. Not one of us deserve the goodness of God. Not one of us deserves to go to heaven. Not one of us is good enough to go to heaven on our own. In fact, we don't get good to get God. We get God to get good. And you're thankful today that God is for you. God is for us. God's not against us. Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, verse 27, is where we want to read from this morning. And how beautiful this passage of Scripture is. And amen. And I see you looking in your word, in the sword of the word of God. The scripture says, the eternal God is thy refuge. I'm glad that my God's not a temporary God. He's eternal, and he's my refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. God gives us power that our enemy becomes nothing. But the beautiful part of this passage is the eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen. Somebody say the everlasting arms. I have more than just a living God. I have an eternal God. And underneath are his everlasting arms. I'm glad that God does not today have to say, hang on, I've got to replace an arm. It's worn out. Or I got to replace this. It quit functioning. I'm glad that my God's hands and his arms and his power, amen, is wonderful. Are you thankful that we serve a omnipresent God who's everywhere? Omni means all. He's all present. Omnipotent, an all-powerful God. Omniscient, an all-knowing God. See, God's not limited by time, space, or ability. God knows, God is, and God has what you need today in this place. Amen. Would you put your Bible down just for a moment? Amen. And to that living almighty God today, would you lift up your hands and reach to him? Amen. And love him back for him loving you. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your goodness and your grace, oh God. Thank you for your power today, Lord. Thank you, God, for knowing us and having us, God, today to be part of your grace and your great plan. Lord, we don't deserve an ounce, God, or a bit of you, but you love us. And we praise you back and love you back for all that you're doing. We give you thanks and we give you worship today. You're beautiful and worthy, and you share those things with us, Jesus. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated today. God bless you. Amen. The eternal God is a refuge. A refuge is a safe place. A refuge is a place that, amen, the vulnerable can live. When they have a refuge for wild animals, They realize that these animals can live there. It's a protected area. The eternal God is my refuge. How many's found that you're vulnerable? I need God. How many's found that you're weak and I need God's big protection around me? I need his refuge. How many's come to that place of realizing you're full of faults and failures? I need God's goodness and grace in me. How many have sinned and found that you need God's forgiveness? Aren't you thankful today that God is a God that keeps you, and he's a God of eternal power, and he is our refuge? And underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen. You don't have to change batteries today. God is still God. His power is not going to fade out. His power is not going to conflict, and his power is not going to run out. Amen. God is everlasting. Amen. And I'm thankful today that I could come to God, and this is what the Lord is looking for. Romans, the 12th chapter, Paul writes to the church, and he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies, the things that God has given you, the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what God is wanting out of you? He's wanting your life to be that living sacrifice. He don't want something dead. He don't want something that is halfway. He wants something pure. Amen. And the Bible says, which is your reasonable service. Look at the next verse. And he said, and be not conformed to this world. Don't let this world shape in you. Don't let this world begin to influence your motives and mannerism. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will or plan of God. Amen. Are you thankful today that in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you offer yourselves to God as a living sacrifice, God does a transformation in your life? Aren't you thankful that this everlasting God will transform you? He will change you completely. Deep within the heart of man is a sense of a need to belong. And there's a desperate place inside of humanity. I want to be part of something, amen, significant. I want to be part of something that will help and grace me. Amen. And throughout human history and history of man, there's always been a need inside of humanity. Amen. A need of validation, a need of significance. Amen. That feeling that I am something, I am somebody. Well, today I'm glad to tell you that I have a God, amen, that we are complete in. You'll never find completion chasing after the mirage of significance of this world. The world will begin to try to entice you that there are bigger and better things out there. There's better things that you could be, but friend, you will never be fulfilled until you let the God of glory have his way in your life. When you finally give, you come to that place that you have to give up and let God be God. Amen. Then only you'll find that true significance fulfilled inside of you. Amen. I want you to think about it. And throughout history, all the different things that man has called God has required a sacrifice. The question has never been, will there be a sacrifice? The question has always been, who pays the price here? The false gods demanded that mankind pay. But the true God that we worship today has offered himself as that sacrifice. Are you thankful that Jesus Christ died, that you can live? And he's not requiring that you die and give your life even through the means of death, but he's saying, I want you to give your life for me. I've already gave my life, but I want you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Today, The Bible says that underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen. Let me compare. Amen. Let me compare something to one of the gods that we just studied about and we talked about last week. Amen. There was a god named Moloch. Moloch was a god that many people worship, and they begin to do great payments to because they wanted his favor. Everybody wants to look good, feel good, and be part of the clique of life. Everybody wants to have success. Everybody wants all the blessings. Everybody wants to feel significant. Everybody wants to feel that place of fulfillment. And so they looked to Moloch as being the answer. And Moloch was an idol god that they began to form. And that idol god was a big bullock, a big ox that they made standing on its hind legs. And that big ox held out arms like this. And I want to get somebody, amen, a strong young man. Brother Wesley, amen, I already picked you out in my mind. Come up here. Amen, a strong young man to represent Moloch today. They had made an idol up here, bro. Amen, an idol. They said it looked like a bull, strong and significant. And they made it out of brass. And this brazen god that they began to worship held out both of his hands. And he was hollow on the inside. I'm glad I don't serve a hollow god on the inside. I'm glad I don't serve, amen, serve a god that just standing there with his hands out like this. Amen. We'll get to somewhere. Brother Pirtle, where's your, go get Cammie real quick. Where's Cammie at? Cammie? No, she's went to the bathroom. That's okay. Amen. Go get your other baby over there. Amen. I want you to see the demands of Moloch. The demands of Moloch, if Brother Pirtle wanted to be prosperous, if Brother Pirtle wanted to be something, and he wanted Moloch to bless him, and he wanted to prosper in life, whether he wanted crops to be blessed, or he wanted military authority, if he wanted strength, if he wanted something, he had to come worship Moloch. Moloch's hands was like this. You know what they did? Moloch was a hollow, big old furnace is what he was. They would start a fire inside of Moloch till Moloch got fiery red. How many of you grew up with old wood stove or wood heater, been around a wood heater? And when they would heat that wood heater at night, how many's ever seen it glow red? Or a piece of metal, people were working on a piece of metal and it started glowing red. When Moloch started glowing, they would bring their babies, their children, and they would lay their children in the hands of a burning, hot, red, glowing God who demanded in order... I'm glad that baby don't want those arms. Amen. They would bring their baby and they were willingly acceptable to place their beautiful babies in the hands of a hot, sizzling God. When that baby hit, that before that baby got there, that baby was screaming and fighting. No, I don't want to go there. But that mama and that daddy said, no, we are willing to pay the life of our child just to get old Moloch to bless us, to get Moloch's grace on our life, to get him to be there. We need our crops to be good. We need our money to go good. We need protection. We need everything. And so in the arms of Moloch, they would take their babies and lay them in that big old brazen furnace of a god. Those babies were placed there, and they would die in the hands of Moloch. I'm not trying to be graphic today, but I want to tell you, I'm glad that I don't serve a God, amen, that is constantly demanding and burning up things, but I have a God whose everlasting arms are underneath me. Moloch, you're going to die. You're going to mess up, that your arm is going to fall off and burn off and melt off. And they had to make another god they call Moloch. After a while, they tell me they burned and burned and burned. And finally, the substance they made Moloch had to be replaced. And somebody said, you know, the last Moloch, Yeah, I didn't like the way his ears were, his horns were. He was a big old bull. That I didn't like the way that right hand was. You know, it started to get melting. And so they would make something they thought was better and more attractive. But there. I'm glad that my God is not just standing there today, but my God is active. My God knows. Amen. Moloch was a demanding God that always demanded the innocent. Oh, give me your babies. Give me your baby. Give me your baby. Moloch's hand was out, and they would throw that baby in the arms of Moloch. The sizzle and the screams of babies is what he liked. They tell me that. Guess what they would do when it came time to worship? They started heating up Moloch. Brother Zach, go get on that drum. Amen, brother. Go get on that drum. Amen. You know what they'd start doing? They'd start beating the drums. Moloch's heating up. You start hitting boom. Moloch's getting hot now. You know, his feet starting to get red. People started hearing that. They knew that Moloch was getting ready. Moloch was getting, he was getting ready to receive an offering. Moloch wanted an offering of your babies and your innocency. He wanted everything. He wanted those little beautiful children. And the drum beats would start. And parents would get in line with their children to offer them to the arms of a God that could not answer. A God that could not help them. A God that could not bless them. Are you thankful today that we have a God not like this, but we have a God who's everlasting. A God of love and compassion. A God of mercy. Amen. Thank you. A God who cares about us. Underneath are the everlasting arms of God. Isn't it crazy? False religion always demands something. Our world always demands something. Hear me. The great difference is this. Amen. False religion says you die for your God. But I'm thankful that my God died for me. Jesus Christ died. Amen. Romans says this in Romans 5:8. But God commended his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, we were the guilty one, the innocent one. Jesus Christ died for me already. Amen. He's come that I may have life and it more abundantly. Aren't you thankful today that Jesus is the one who gave? Amen. That I could be the recipient. I could be the one, amen, oh, that receives in this thing. There's a mirage today of significance that people are chasing. And the modern pursuit is not merely survival, but people are looking for status. I've got to have that status. I've got to have everything in order. I've got to have prosperity. I've got to be successful. I've got to have this. Amen. I want to tell you the greatest success you could ever have is staying in the arms of a great Savior. Amen. Making your security in God Almighty, not in the arms of anything else, whether it's prosperity or the things of this life and the things of this world. Deep within the heart of man is that longing to belong, but that longing has often become a desperate hunger for approval. People sacrifice incredible amounts of time, money, relationship, conviction, and even their souls for a chance to become somebody. Of a God that would completely wipe them away. They pursue beauty, influence, wealth, success, recognition, health, talent, popularity, and even prosperity. But none of these things are really evil. But when they become the source of our identity, and they reveal an empty place within the soul that no earthly achievement can satisfy. I want to tell you that emptiness is why so many people seem to have it all, but they still confess that they feel hollow on the inside. And when people climb the mountain of life of success only to discover that success cannot quiet the heart, then many begin to search for something to numb the disappointment. They turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, they turn to pleasure as a substitute. Addictions, immorality, entertainment, and endless distractions become coping mechanisms for the soul, and still they feel incomplete. But are you thankful today? In Jesus Christ, the Bible says, we are complete in him. who's the head of all principalities and power. I just want to say today, what a wonderful God we serve. What a mighty God we have today. Oh, it's so wonderful to have the everlasting arms of God underneath us. And to have God as my eternal refuge, even in my inabilities, my incapabilities, and my lackings and my messes. Amen. I'm thankful that I have a God that says, I will be your eternal refuge. You could come to me today. The Christian's hope was never intended to stop at the grave. You see, many people chase and pursue the mirage of finding significance. They want it in this life. But the beautiful thing about this, my God's kingdom is eternal. God has something that reaches beyond my circumstances. And the joy survives past this life. And his purpose extends beyond our final breath. While the world spends itself chasing, amen, applause and applause that will fade even when they breathe their last breath. I'm thankful that I have a God who is everlasting. There's an everlasting arms. Amen. Deuteronomy 33, 20 says, amen, 27, the eternal God is thy refuge and underneath of the everlasting arms. Earthly status is a fragile thing, but I'm thankful that God's acceptance is eternal. Amen. What do you want in your life today? Do you want a fragile, just a little time frame called life? Or do you want something here and you want it there? I want to tell somebody today, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. He's here now and he's going to be there. Amen. I want the best of God. Amen. The best right now and the best forever. Earthly wealth will disappear, but his inheritance never fades. Earthly beauty withers and wrinkles, but God's glory is forever. Earthly applause will grow silent, but his well done will echo forever. Why spend your entire life exhausting and trying to pursue a fantasy that would never satisfy your soul? Why trade eternal treasures for temporary significance of this world? I want to talk to somebody. Jesus stood, amen, in John 7, 37. He said, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He also said to the woman at the well, whosoever drinketh this water is going to thirst again. But I will give you something that you'll never thirst. The world offers mirages, but Jesus Christ is the source of living waters. The world promises significance, but delivers exhaustion. But Jesus Christ, amen, gives more than just achievement. He gives life. He gives purpose. He gives reason. And he gives fulfillment. The world demands performance before acceptance. But Christ gives acceptance that transforms our performance. The world says, become somebody. Jesus said, come unto me, and I'll make you to become what you need to be. One path leaves you forever chasing, but the real path leaves you forever satisfied. Think with me today. Would you put Psalm 16 and 11? This morning in my Bible devotion, I turned it on, and this was a scripture that I found in my devotion to confirm what the Lord has spoke to me for this service. Psalm 16 and verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand pleasures forevermore. Are you thankful that God has more for you, and that more is forever? The arms of Moloch. Give me your best. Give me your baby. Give me. And it never gives back. Are the arms of an everlasting God today. Let me talk to somebody's heart and somebody's life. Jesus is asking for your life. He's not asking that you become religious. He's not asking for you to join a church. He's not asking for you to join this church. He's not asking for you just to do some little rituals and checkoffs. In fact, amen, you've got to make a turn to Jesus Christ today. Somebody's eternity is in need today of something everlasting. Amen, I want to tell you, amen, there's going to be either heaven or hell, the lake of fire. Amen. You're going to either have, amen, the pleasures forevermore or the displeasures forevermore. Which arms do you want today? Do you want the arms that are everlasting, full of pleasure? Or do you want the constant free fall into the lake of fire? Hear me. Many people think, oh, well, I'm okay like I am. And you're willing to gamble your time and the point of your life and put yourself in the arms of something else other than the arms of God. We have no time to stand between a decision. Amen. We're living in an hour where people hate to make decisions. But today the Lord spoke to me very plainly. Somebody needs to make the right decision today. Your decision will determine your eternity. You need to make the right decision. Either the arms of God or the arms of something else that will consume your life. What are you going to do with your life here on earth? Are you going to let it just stay in the arms of the world? Are you going to put your life in the everlasting arms of God? You know, you still have to repent. Let me talk to us about what repentance is. Repentance has become the most understood word in Christianity. Many people define repentance as feeling sorry, apologizing, admitting they're wrong, crying before God in desperation. Many even say turning around, making a U-turn. These things may accompany repentance, but none of them truly define repentance. The biblical repentance that the Lord is looking for, oh yes, when you repent, there's going to be godly sorrow. You're going to admit you're wrong and you need God. You're going to apologize. You're going to cry before God and you're going to turn to God. And you're going to surrender. But the thing is, amen, you're not just going to surrender your feelings. You're not going to surrender your sin. God is wanting you to surrender your will to Him. It is removing yourself from the throne. It is crowning the Lord Jesus Christ saying, Lord, not my will. Repentance is the death of self-rule. Repentance prepares the way for God. John the Baptist never preached, just feel guilty when you repent. He preached, prepare you the way of the Lord. When you repent, it means you start removing the obstacles. You bring down the mountains and lift the valleys. You straighten the crooked paths that the Lord could come to you. Repentance removes every barricade that keeps Jesus from reigning in your heart. Before Jesus can reign, self must be surrendered. Why are you holding on to self? Why are you trying to offer self in the arms of something else? We talked about it the other day. The most dangerous God that you could serve is self. If I go to hell, it won't be the devil that sends me there. It'll be self. You know that John the Baptist refused to baptize the Pharisees without surrender? He said, I'm not going to baptize you. Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. The fruit that proves the root inside of you. Until the will changes, the life cannot change. John the Baptist says the axe must be laid to the root. God's not wanting a pruning today. He's not wanting you to trim your branches and make yourself look good. He wants you to change ownerships. You could belong to church and still not be truly repented of your sins. God doesn't own you, but just on a Sunday only. God don't want to be your weekend lover, your part-time warrior, and God don't want to be the genie that you had to run to every time you have a problem. Say, Lord, do this. He wants to be Lord of everything. If He's not Lord of all, He cannot be Lord at all in your life. Why confess my sins? Do you know there were people that confessed their sins that went to hell? Confessing your sins is not good enough. If you still have your hand, amen, in sin, and you're still the ruler, the one in your life that's in control, and you never got off the throne of your heart, and let God be God. He must have the throne of your life for you to really repent. Jesus never came to make life miserable. He came to liberate life. So this, I want you to understand, He said, I've come that you may have life in it more abundantly. You know, repentance is not just being miserable. He's not saying, oh, only thing I do is just become miserable. You ever see, let me say, begrudgment and being misery is not repentance. When you ought to be ashamed of your past. You ought to be ashamed of your self-rule, that you're ashamed enough to say, God, I tried it my way. Now I want the highway. How many wants the higher way of life in you? The Bible talks about salvation being sure and being certain of your relationship. The Bible says, make your calling and your election sure. Amen, folks. You got to keep it sure. You got to keep it certain. You got to keep your life, amen, as God is your greatest treasure. Amen. You can't just one day say, I love God, and tomorrow garage sale him. You don't play around with the treasures of garage sale item. Amen. The reward of surrender is this. Amen. Romans 12 doesn't end with sacrifice. He said, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Isn't it beautiful when you give yourself to God? You take yourself and you put your hands in the arms of a great God who's a Savior. Amen. The Bible says he will transform you. Aren't you glad today that God is one that transforms a total surrendered life? Transformation will follow repentance. God is still the one that will complete you. There are only two altars, the one that belongs to self and the one that belongs to Christ. One consumes life and one gives life. One says, God, here am I. The world says, give me your children, give me your future, give me your good. Jesus said, give me your all. I have everything for you. Are you thankful today for the beauty of the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad that Jesus Christ, amen, is here today not to just take your life and not give something back, but to give you life right now and it more abundantly. Will you remain on the throne of your life? Moloch demanded the sacrifice of innocent children to satisfy a false appeal. But Jesus became the innocent sacrifice to give something real and satisfying. The mirage before us today, many people are chasing it, trying to find peace, trying to find joy. But I love that scripture we read a while ago. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And thy right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. I come to ask you today, have you obeyed the word of the Lord? Do you know the first message John the Baptist preached was repentance? Do you know the first message that Jesus signified was repentance? Do you know the first message that Peter, standing up with the 11, preached to that new little church that was being birthed in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost? The first thing out of Peter's mouth when he stood up with the 11 of them behind him was repentance. Jesus said, except you repent, you're going to perish. Somebody needs to change ownerships today. You need to turn in your title. You need to sign your life over and say, Jesus, I need you today. Are you ready to meet God? Is your eternity sure and fixed? Is your life ready to meet the Savior? Where's your destiny? Where do you have reservations? Is it heaven or hell? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? If you have not been baptized in the water, when somebody says baptism is an option, no, it's not. The Bible says baptism doth now also save us. And it also says, Jesus told Nicodemus, you've got to be born again of water and of the Spirit. Well, I believe that. I don't care what you believe. The Word of God, what it says, matters. That book's going to be right 9 times out of 9. My opinion don't count. Religion don't count. The Word of God counts. You've got to be baptized. And when Jesus pulled his disciples and began to groom them and teach them and instruct them, he said, I want you to go teach and preach and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I am a father. I am a son and I'm a husband. But my name is not father. My name is not son. And my name is not husband. I have a name. And when my wife married me, she didn't become the title father. She didn't become son. And she didn't become husband. She took my name. Friend, when the disciples obeyed that great commission and commandment, when Jesus said, go teach, baptizing them in the name of the Father, every time they obeyed that commandment, guess what they did? Acts the 2nd chapter, read it. Acts the 8th chapter, read it. Acts the 10th chapter, read it. And Acts the 19th chapter, the disciples of John the Baptist were rebaptized after being baptized by John the Baptist in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Acts 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name. Everybody say none. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You need the name of Jesus in your life. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Because he said, if my people which are called by my name. Amen. Do you have the name of Jesus on your life? Don't take my word, friend. Don't think that this is just a religious push and a promotion. No, no, no. The Lord is speaking to hearts today. Amen. Peter standing up that day in Acts the 2nd chapter. You know what the question was? What must we do? Peter said, first of all, you got to repent. Repent don't mean just feel sorry. You need to turn over your ownership. Repent. You need to die. Then he said, you repent and be baptized, every one of you. Would you put it up there, Brother Josh? Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name. Everybody say the name of Jesus Christ. For what purpose? For the remission of sins. Baptism is for the remission of sins. And he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost, friend. You need the Spirit of God living in your life. If you have not received the Holy Ghost, you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, and you have not repented, you're in a desperate situation this morning in need of the help and the hands of an everlasting God. Stand with me, church congregation. Amen. I want you to get out of your chairs today. Amen. I want you to make your way to this front today. Don't even think twice. Amen. I want you to come on and respond to the helping hand of the Lord. Today's a beautiful day for somebody to repent of their sin, for somebody to change ownership. Amen. Somebody get some things in order. Amen. Come on. God's not demanding a dead sacrifice. God's not demanding something else. Come on. The most important part of this service is right now. Amen. Where somebody makes a turn to the Almighty God and say, God, here am I. Amen. If there's something holding you back, repentance according to John the Baptist was for you to make way. Amen. The straight path for God to come in. Come on. Make the crooked straight today. Amen. Get the obstacles out of your way to let God come to your heart and let God have the throne of your life. Come on, sir. Amen. You need to turn it over to God today. You will not go, amen, to heaven by being good. Hell's going to be full of good people. God is looking for somebody to turn to him. Make your election, make your calling sure today. Well, the Lord is speaking to somebody's heart today. You got to make a change today in your life. Amen. You'll never make it, young lady, in the hands of Moloch, in the hands of trying to be significant and fit in. It's going to take you saying yes to God today. And you've let God have the ownership of your life. Come on, let him be Lord of all to you. Hallelujah. Come on, would you reach out to Jesus in this place? I need somebody to cry out to God. There's such a drastic need. Amen. You're not willing to give yourself. You're not willing, amen, to pay the price of offering yourself. You're missing something. Amen. Come on, you need to talk to God. Be real with God today. God is wanting somebody to, even to sign over their life. even to offer themselves and say, God, your will must be done. God, I got to obey you. Obedience is not an option today. Hear me, obedience is not an option. Amen. You have to obey the word of God. You have to obey the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection. You have to die out to self. You have to bury the old person you are through water baptism. And you need the resurrection, the power of the Holy God of heaven living in your life. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me right now? Come on, there's needs in the house. If there's somebody in this room that needs the Spirit of God, you need the Holy Ghost, and you want God to fill you today with the Spirit, amen, I'm going to ask you to just push your way up here and say, I want the Holy Ghost, Pastor. Amen. If you haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost and you need the Holy Ghost today, and you know that today God has spoken to you, what more would it take? When God has made an appeal to you to get your attention, you don't have tomorrow. Tomorrow's not a guarantee, but you got right now. Don't pursue the mirage of tomorrow. You need to come to this front and say, Pastor, pray with me. I need the Spirit of God. If you're that individual, amen, I want you to make your way. Don't hesitate a bit. Amen. We're not here to get you to join a church. Amen. We're here to pray with you that God's Spirit will live in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. God, here am I. I pray for the glory, the power of your glory, God, to fall in me. Your Spirit to work in me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you find somebody to pray with this morning near you? Lord, fill my cup, Lord. Come on, pray with that person right next to you if it's appropriate. Lord, help us to be obedient. Help us to be willing, God, and obedient to your voice.